blessed. Say amen.
Amen.
I don't care if you're a visitor, you're a member. If you're here, you're blessed. There's a whole lot of people, and I look around and I see all the empty pews. And you say, empty pews, we're about full. I can name at least 20 that's sick today. Then we've got Brother Troy preaching this morning. So he and Carrie and the kids are up preaching. And then Brother Chris is out preaching today. It's so good to have Brother James Haynes back following his recent hospital stay and stent placement. Good to have Brother Jerry Church back. Brother Jerry been out for about a month. And what a blessing it is to have these folks back. If you're here and you're a visitor, I trust that somebody's already made you feel welcome, because truly you are. You're in the Lord's house. And this is his time. It's his house. And I trust that somebody's made you feel that way, that you're in the presence of God today. Some of you are fanning. Some of them's already hot. Brother Derek, y'all by the things, knock that thing down about 2 degrees. And we'll try to get everybody comfortable. We get it cold. But when you get 250, 300 people, whatever we got in here, it warms up pretty quick. So we'll try to get that brought down just a little bit. I will go ahead and tell you by way of announcement. Brother Kenny Anderson, everybody knows Preacher Kenny. Brother Kenny's going to be taking the pulpit for the next few weeks for me. I don't know exactly how long, because I don't know how long I'm going to be out. I do have surgery on Tuesday, and we'll see what happens. I find out tomorrow where I know where I'm going. I'm going to Forsyth Hospital, but don't know exactly the time to report and all that. But anyway, if you need something, the new deacon assignment list went out on Wednesday night. And if your family deacon has not contacted you yet, it could be because it's Brother Clayton and he wasn't here Wednesday night. And he's back there waving his hand laughing at us. But most of the others have tried their best to contact you. If you don't know who your new family deacon assignment is, go by the office downstairs or ask any of the current deacons, because they've all got a list of everybody's families. Each deacon has about 15 to 17 families that they're going to be responsible for your needs. If you have a spiritual need, this does not exempt you from calling me. You call me anytime you want to, day or night, and some of you do, and some of you will continue, and that's fine. But if you got something you need immediately and you can't get a hold of me, you call your family deacon. I promise you they'll look into it. The churches give the ability to meet certain needs in certain ways, financially and other ways. So just get with your family deacon. If you don't know who it is, get with a deacon, and then they'll help you. The book of Acts is where we'll be today, in chapter number 8. It is good to be here. Amen. I'm excited to be back in the Lord's house and be able to stand and proclaim His Word. We had a wonderful men's conference yesterday, above 600 men in the same building under the same roof hearing from heaven. And that's always an encouraging thing. You look around, people of like faith coming together for one common goal, and that's to hear from heaven. And it was an encouragement to my heart. I have to say that the last preacher, and I don't know which preacher touched you, and I ain't even going to tell you the last preacher's name, because I'm not putting a preacher on a pedestal. But the last preacher accomplished more to me than the others did. And you say, well, what was it? I believe it was the brevity of his message. And you said, you see, you're going to be short today? No. But it helped me, because he only preached for about 10 minutes, but he accomplished more in 10 minutes than some of us preachers can do in an hour. And it was just that message. You say, well, what was it? And bless his heart, he had gone by the Dollar General store and got a glow stick. That's all it was a glow stick. He used the scriptures and he backed it up with the Word of God. It's not like he's preaching off of a wrapper of a glow stick, but that's what he used. He got it out, and it's just a stick. That's all any of us are, just a stick. We're just here. And then he read the instructions. That thing must first be bent. And he bent it in middle. And he used that as a kind of a metaphor for us to bend the knee, to be prone before God, get down low before God, and to be bent. Bend our knees and ask God and seek the Lord's face. The next was he had to snap it back and break it. And then he used the scripture about a broken spirit and a contrite heart. And then lastly, it had to be shook. And then he shook it up. And when he did, that thing glowed. And then Brother Chris looked over at me, because he was sitting beside me. He said, there's one more step in that. He said, it wasn't on that pack that he read. He said, then take it to the dark place. Boy, that would work really well. So you take that light of yours that God hath given you after you bent the knee, and after you've been broken by the Almighty, and He shook you to your very foundation and showed you who around you needs Jesus, you go into that dark place and let your light so shine. But anyway, what a blessing it was. In the book of Acts, we're in the 8th chapter. I started out this morning by going to some of the different Sunday school classrooms and asking a pointed question. I'll ask you in the congregation today. You can answer it with a show of hands, or you can just answer it in your heart. Won't matter to me. But how many of you in here today are very, very comfortable witnessing to the lost people in a one-on-one atmosphere, one-on-one environment? Are you really comfortable? Are you really comfortable going and talking to people about their faith or about the need of salvation? Of course, my preachers raised their hand and some others. But how many of you, and I would like to see you show a hand, how many of you find it just a little bit apprehensive, a little bit of anxiety whenever the Lord squeezes your heart and says, you need to speak to this one about faith, or you need to speak to this one about salvation? How many of us would be honest and say, we have a little trouble with that? Raise your hands up. Look, I know we're here. I'm raising my hand. You said, you're the pastor. You shouldn't be that way. There are still times. I'm not going to lie to you. There's still times, Brother Gwen, when it just seems like maybe the Lord's nudged me that way. And I'm like, really? Right here in McDonald's, right here in this place, I'm supposed to go up and broach the subject about Christianity or about faith or about the matters of the Lord. And I'm supposed to go to them right now. And, you know, it's a little bit apprehensive depending on the environment you're in. And that's just the way that it is. Well, the Lord's brought us to a place here in the book of Acts, chapter number 8. And I believe today, if we are, I think we're going to be right in Acts chapter 8. I know sometimes I wear your Bibles out going a lot of places. I know we'll make a couple references to other passages of Scripture, but we'll primarily be in the book of Acts chapter number 8. If you look previously in the book of Acts and look what's going on, there's a swelling revival going on. Saul has been redeemed, and as he's been called to, he's persecuting the church. He's about ready to step on the scene here in chapter number 9. But Peter, James, and John, the early disciples, they're doing a work, and Stephen has now been stoned, and we're going into Acts chapter number 8, leading toward chapter 9. Saul is now on the scene, because he's there holding the cloaks of those that stoned the martyr Stephen. And we preached about that just a little while back, maybe a couple Sundays ago. We saw Saul introduced into the Scriptures. And that's the first time we've seen a mention of this particular. There have been other Sauls. There was a King Saul, the first king of Israel. But this is a different Saul, and it's the first mention of him. But anyway, the reason that he comes on the scene is because the church has been swelling. The church has been growing. I mean, the Bible says in several places that the Lord added unto the daily search such as should be saved. I'm talking about 3,000 people, 4,000, 5,000 people. The church is just growing. And even as we just had a deacon ordination service, that was the need for the deacons. The church was growing, and there was a great need to minister to the people, spiritually speaking, that the man of God might be given to the Word of God. He might be given to prayer and have time to study and meditate on the Word of God, that he might then deliver the message to the people that come to hear it. But anyway, we're just going past that swelling revival that we're talking about now is about to totally change. We're leaving those astronomical numbers of people, and that's a big number to me. Brother, y'all preachers have been anywhere where somebody saw 3,000 saved, preacher? I mean, you put Kenny Anderson's name in lights, and I have a feeling they ain't 3,000 going to come. I know if you put my name up, there ain't going to be 3,000. Now, you could put up Joel Osteen, or you could put up some other big-name preacher and pack out a coliseum. Why? Because the name recognition would be there. But let me tell you, if you're doing it by the Bible, you're not going to draw a great big crowd. Not in the late day that we're in. But in the Scriptures today, we see the Lord moving one of His choice servants from where he was into a desert place. And then you're going to get a one-on-one interaction with a man that needs to be saved. Let's stand all over the house of God, and we'll go ahead and reverence this Scripture reading. And we're going to pick up the reading in chapter number 8 of the book of Acts in verse number 26. And then we're going to read the remainder of that chapter with the Lord as our help. If you found your place, say amen. The Bible said, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, which, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place where the Scriptures, which he read, was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. And if you were to run the reference on that, of course, Esaias being the Hebraic term used for the book of Isaiah, and you could run that back into the old Bible in Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8. It said, in his humiliation and his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And when they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doeth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all cities till he came to Caesarea. Brother Gwen, good to have you back with us, my friend. If you would ask God to bless our scripture reading this morning. Man, as you're being seated, let me say to those of you that are saved by God's grace, that have no trouble going and witnessing to others, go. But unto you which are just a little apprehensive, I am not talking condescendingly down to you. I am not putting you in a position of shame. I'm just telling you that with the Lord's help, you too can have that boldness. You too can find that unction to do what is necessary for the cause of Christ. And I'm going to take one of my greatest mentors since I've been here at this church, and I can use him because he can't say no because he's not here. And that being Brother Woody Dow. Brother Woody, if you've ever had him to pray with you at the altar. Brother Woody is very unique in the way that he prays. He's specific in his prayer, but if you were up here at the altar and Brother Woody did not know you. Now, honestly, if he knew that you were undergoing something, Brother Tim, you were fighting cancer, you were going through some difficult struggle, Brother Woody may not even ask you because you are a longtime member here. He knows you and probably can even maybe understand a little bit what your burden might be. But if you come up here and Brother Woody does not know you, one of the first things that Brother Woody's going to ask you is this, Brother Gwen, can I pray with you? And when he comes down beside you and says, can I pray with you? Let me tell you, that means something to me. It should mean something to you if one of these other sainted men come by there and say, can I pray with you? But the very next question out of his mouth, I don't care if you say, I'm praying for a faulty liver, I'm praying for an upcoming test, I'm praying for this or praying for that. Brother Woody's next question out of his mouth is going to be namely this. Well, let me first ask you, are you saved? Brother Woody always does that. Why? Because salvation is on the frontlet of his heart in that he wants to know, because he can pray for your faulty, he can pray for your maimed, he can pray for your need all day long. But the greater need for any single one of us above an upcoming surgery, above some impending disaster that you might be facing, above every bit of that, Brother Tam, is the need for every one of us to know without a shadow of a doubt that we're saved by God's grace. Let me say, it comes easy to Brother Woody. Brother Woody been a deacon here serving about 40 years, but it might not be easy to you, and that's okay. It may not come, Brother Scott, as just so simple to you, but let me tell you, one-on-one with Jesus will help you, I promise you. And if you'll hear me today when I preach this message, just one-on-one with Jesus. You said one-on-one with Jesus? I'm talking about one-on-one with Jesus. It's the same as their marriage. They are one-on-one in a marriage, but they're one-on-one with Jesus. And let me just say this today. Bless God, I want to help you. And if you're here today and you're lost, I want this to be the corporate message that everybody hears collectively. But I want you in your own life to start understanding that God hath given us the great commission to do what we're supposed to do. Let's go right into the scriptures and we'll go right back. Let me just say this real quick. Don't be in a position of those that were in the story of the Good Samaritan. We had a priest, we had a Levite, and then we had the Samaritan. Some of them are going the other side. I don't walk around somebody just because you think, boy, this ragamuffin, man, this man's a beast, and I'm going to tell him about Jesus, and I got to tell him about Jesus. He's going to cuss me out. Don't let that junk worry you, and please don't avoid them just because they have a rough character. Don't avoid them just because they've got a foul mouth. You say, well, I don't want to run around with a bunch of foul mouth people. I'm not telling you to invite them to your home. I'm not telling you to go hang out with them at some club or bar. Brother, what I'm saying, though, is if the Holy Spirit of God is squeezing your heart to go and tell them about grace, you need to do that. So let's get into our scriptures this morning. John chapter number 4, verse 35. You don't have to go there. Just listen to me. Tells us that say you not that there are yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you to lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are already white unto harvest. Sometimes, my friends, if we're not careful, we'll put our blinders on. Why? Because, Brother D, we don't want to see what's going on around us. That's what's going on the national scene. People don't want to see that we're in such a turmoil. Or such a trouble. Brother, our nation is rotten to the very core, but a lot of people won't acknowledge that. They just want to bypass and say, well, it's pretty good in my neck of the woods. It may be good in your neck of the woods, but if our boat's sinking, guess what? We're all in the same boat. And I'm afraid that we just try to bail water rather than stopping the hole. The hole is this. We have a sin problem in America, and we're not going to get any better if we don't first get started at the local level, in my heart, in my home, and in this church, and then in your family, and in every one of us are sitting in this pew, because the Bible tells us that judgment must first begin where? At the house of God. So let's go right into our scripture today, and let's just look down through there. There is a commandment that goes out as the Great Commission that we all know of. It's found in 16:15 to the book of Mark. And that basic grand commission from God is to go into the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. You say, but I'm not a preacher. That's okay. You don't have to be a preacher. But do you have Jesus? Do you have the Lord in your life? You can be like Peter and John when they went up to the temple. They met a lame man along the way, and he's asking for alms. And they looked at him and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. They gave away the only thing that they really possessed. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. So today I want you to first to be willing to reach the sinner. Think about this. Look in verse number 26 and 27. Peter could have put up a front. He could have put up a stall. He could have said, Lord, there's thousands of people being saved up here. And Philip could have rightly said, and he would have been right in saying so, that the Lord hath blessed here. We're seeing thousands of people saved. But the Bible said in the very first part of the 26th verse that the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. If the angel of the Lord speaks unto Miss Becky, then Becky needs to listen. And the old Bible, Brother John, he would come to somebody and say, Samuel, Samuel. Samuel jumps up, runs to Eli and says, did you call me? Hey, it's not me calling you. Maybe you need to lay back down and listen a little closer. And then again, Samuel, Samuel. Hey, jumps up, said, Eli, you talking to me? Sometimes we just don't hear that it is the Lord because we're not listening for the voice of the Lord. We want to hear from a wife. We want to hear from a Sunday school teacher. We'd like to hear from a deacon. We'd like to hear from you, Pastor. Bless God, God speaks to each and every one of us individually. And that common goal should be that, brother, you need to reach the sinner. You need to be reaching out to sinners. Brother Joe, you're called to preach. You need to reach sinners. Brother Scott, you need to reach sinners. Brother Robbie, you've been a deacon before. You need to reach sinners. Miss Cindy, you say, I'm just a pastor's wife. You need to reach sinners. I don't care who you are. You need to be reaching out into sinners. You say, where in the world am I going to find these sinners? Bless God, let the Lord lead you. The Bible said, in this it said, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip and said, go down toward Gaza. He said, arise and go down toward the south and the place which is called Gaza. So what did he do? We see then in the scriptures that, bless God, he got up and went. He didn't haggle. He didn't suggest that maybe you ought to send Brother Gwen over there. Maybe you ought to send somebody else. I'm going to stay up here where the activities at, because there's been thousands saved up here. I'm just going to stay up here. No, the Bible said that Philip just got up and went. But you've got to be first willing to reach the sinner. Brother Robbie, I think you've got a heart for that. I've seen it. And I think that's probably one of the reasons that the church saw you fit to be a deacon, because you were already serving. And every one of us had that ability to serve. I don't care where you go, serve where you're at and bloom where you're planted. So the first thing that I would say, be willing. Are you willing? If you're not willing, I told you, or when I asked you the questions earlier, it's not easy for all of us. But you must be willing. Preacher, it's hard. I know it is. That's why I'm trying to help you today. If you'll do these, I'll go ahead and give them to you. There's five little things that we're going to do. First, be willing to reach the sinner. Will you do that? Girls, are y'all willing to reach the sinner? Are you willing to befriend people that maybe you just normally would not befriend and say, let me just, you know, help you along the way a little bit. And Brother Jody and some of them in the Sunday school class started talking about sometimes you'll reach them with a material good and then you'll get them with the gospel. And we've seen that happen many, many times. But you must be first willing to reach them. If you're not willing to reach the sinner, then I'm not sure you ever will. In verse number 27, you're going to see that he's not just going to a sinner. He's going to somebody that had been up to Jerusalem to worship. So who's he going to? He's going to somebody that in Philip's mind said, what's this guy doing? No doubt if he's got the treasure, if he is over the treasure of the queen, brother, he's probably got some great authority. He's probably not traveling in the back of an uncovered wagon. Brother, he's probably got some finery around him. He's probably got a little bit of pomp and circumstance going on all around him. Why? Because of the fact that he is somebody. He is over the queen's treasurer. He is over the queen's goods. He had been up to Jerusalem and he was up there to worship. But that's the one that the Lord said, Philip, there he is. You got to be willing to first go. I want you to hear the next thing that I'm going to give you. Let me just go back just a little bit. I told you in chapter 16 of the book of Mark that it is commanded to go into all the world. And then I want to tell you this, that Jude 22 tells us that it's going to be the reason that you go is going to be the heart of compassion that moves you. So let's move on just a little bit. We're moving beyond chapters 8, 26, and 27, where I'm saying you must first be willing to reach the sinner. And I want you to do this, 26 through 29, if you were to go back and read it in its totality. It says 28 and 29 was returning, sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. So what are you saying, preacher? Hey, I'm saying he is totally relying upon the Spirit. And you must be willing to listen to the Spirit. Even as you're willing to go and to be a witness and to be an effective witness unto the sinner, Brother Jerry, you've got to rely on the Holy Spirit of God. Now listen, I am not above corporate door knocking. Brother Tim, we do that. We've been in those vans. I've seen both vans going in different directions, going into public housing areas, going into trailer parks, Brother Archie, where nobody else might go. We've been up in some of the places. I didn't know where we were at, and it looked rough. And we've seen the character of the people in that maybe community. But brother, I'm not above that and I'm not against that whatsoever. Brother, go knock on some doors. Invite people to Bible school. Go knock on doors and invite people unto the revival we're having. But bless God, this is different, Brother Kenny. I'm not talking about public door knocking, going down a whole street and canvassing a community just because that's the right thing to do. I'm talking about going to one-on-one in a personal evangelistic effort because you know that man, by his own word of mouth, it has a testimony that he's not saved. I'm saying to reach out, but rely on the Spirit as to where you go and when you go and who you go to. He will lead you to that one. He will do that. I promise you that. You says he ever done you that way? More times than one. I've seen it happen through a dear friend of mine, a deacon at the other church that I used to pastor. He's gone on to be with the Lord now, but Brother Kenny, he had that unique ability to connect with a lost man. He worked for the county and he would get a call and he would go on that call. But brother, it would just be like a bee drawn to a flower. Brother Tim, it was like a moth to the light. He would see that person and it was like Brother Kenny, he was so plugged into the Lord Jesus Christ that whenever he got there, the Lord said, you got to go tell him about me. And then Brother Kenny, he didn't back up just because he was wearing a county uniform or because he was on the company dollar or time. He did not shirk his duties to go. And bless God, he would call me up on countless times that he called me and he would say, Pastor, I just got to tell you something. I said, what's that, brother? He said, bless God, I went out there to set a trap. He was an animal control officer and he would go to his, I just went out there to set a trap and he said, guess what I called? I said, I don't have a clue what you called. Here I'm thinking in my carnal mind, I'm not very spiritual in my own right. I'm thinking he caught himself a beaver. He got himself a skunk. He got himself a squirrel. He got the, bless God, he said, I just caught myself a sinner. And bless God, he said he was out there wondering what I was doing. And I got up there, told him I was setting traps. And he said, what in the world are you doing? He said, I'm setting traps because because of these animals around here. He says, the next thing I know, that man done stepped right into a trap because God sent me there to set that box trap. And bless God, that man stepped right in a trap that the Holy Ghost set. And bless God, he told that man about Jesus. And Brother Gwynn, the next thing you know, there's somebody that the Lord sent him to that got saved by the grace of God. But he first had to be willing to go. And then he was totally and utterly reliant on the Holy Spirit to show that's the one. Now, I've shared this with you folks before. I did not go the night that I was supposed to go. Not been too awful long ago. It was, well, a little while now. Miss Sterling, the Lord woke me up in the morning, the middle morning hours, like 2 o'clock. I don't remember the exact time. And told me to go to the Wilco on 2nd Street Hill. Brother Tim, I remember it as if it were now. It wasn't a dream. I wasn't dreaming. I was not fictionalizing something in my mind. Brother Kenny, the Lord woke me up. And he said, get up there and go. It's when we lived at the other houses before we moved. Brother Tim, I didn't get up and I didn't go. I went to the bathroom and I hee-hawed around. I said, what in the world? Why would I go over there? And Brother Gwynn, to this day, I don't know why I was supposed to go to the Wilco on 2nd Street Hill. But I've got it in my heart and in my mind, Brother Kim, that there was somebody over there that needed something from the Lord. Not from me personally. I don't think he needed $2 to buy cheap wine. Brother Tam, God's not going to wake me up to send me over there to give him $2 for a cheap bottle of wine. Bless God, I believe, Brother Gwynn, all in my heart, it could have been a daddy that was over there trying to find something for his children, for milk or meat or whatever. But the greater in me believe, Brother Tam, there was a lost man. There was a lost woman over there. Somebody was over there that needed Jesus Christ. And guess what this preacher didn't do? Brother Danny, I didn't get up and I didn't go. And I've always wondered about that, Lord. You told me to go and I didn't go. I wish now that I had. Can you imagine, Brother Gwynn, the different story I'm preaching right now to you, Brother Kenny? I can say the Lord woke me up at 2 o'clock. Bless God, I got out of bed. I bounced on a pair of pants and I put on a t-shirt. I put on my shoes and out the door I went. Bless God, Brother Tam got up there with a pocket full of gospel tracts and told them that the Lord had woke me up, told me to come up here and find that man out there maybe bowed down beside a gas pump, Brother Kenny. He was over there because he's about to run out of gas. He's trying to get somewhere. Bless God, I got over there, Brother Tam. How much better would it have been, Brother Gwynn, if I could have said, let me tell you about my Savior. I could have been preaching to you today a whole different story rather than a story of regret. I could be saying, that's how God works, folks. He'll direct the shots. He'll call you to where you're supposed to go. But I'm honest with you, you better rely on the Holy Spirit to lead you to who? To lead you to where? Philip did that. He said, where are you? We go at Gaza. Who? That eunuch. When? Right now. Philip said, do you know what you're reading? I see you reading. What are you reading? He said, I'm reading out of the book of Isaiah. He said, what are you reading? He says, about this lamb brought, led before the sheep that opened not his mouth, led to the slaughter. He said, do you know who that is? He said, how in the world can I except some man should guide me? And Brother Gwynn, the Bible said that Philip jumped up in that chariot and preached unto him Jesus. So you say, well, preacher, now that I'm willing to go and I'm relying on the Holy Spirit to lead me to where to go, what am I going to do when I do get there? Look on down through here. The Bible says in verses number 30 through 34, Philip ran thither to him and heard the prophet reading Isaiah. And he said, understandest what thou readest? He said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come and sit with him. And the place where the scripture that he read was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh thou, this prophet of himself or of some other man? And then I want you to hear this. The Bible said, and then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at the same scripture, a priest unto him, Jesus. Let me say, you got to be willing to go. I bless God, rely upon the Holy Spirit to send you where you need to go, but be willing to reach the old sinner out there somewhere. Bless God, you better be ready to go, and then here's how you're going to reach him. You said, preacher, I don't know what to say. I bless God, do what Philip did. I just recall the scriptures. That's exactly what he did. He said he went to the scripture. I bless God, you can tell him what he did for you. You can tell him what he's done for others. But bless God, the best opportunity for you to win anybody to the Lord, Brother John, is to use the scripture. The Bible said, beginning at the same scripture, he was reading out of the book of Isaiah. So what did he do? He went back to the book of Isaiah. He took him right back there to where that lamb was led to the slaughter, and he opened not his mouth. And ain't no doubt in my mind that conversation went something like this. He said, oh, Mr. Eunuch, he said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I accept some man man should guide me. He said, let me tell you about my Savior. And bless God, he said, the Bible doesn't say, he said, beginning at the same scripture. Is that not what it said, brother preacher? But what did he say? He said he enjoined himself to the chariot and preached unto them Jesus. I'm telling you, my friend, recall the scriptures. Use the old Bible if you must do that. I get into scripture where it said he was beaten and the chastisement of the world was upon him. I go to the scriptures and talk about the things that pertain to the actual episode or to whoever you're dealing with. Brother John, you might not talk about that scripture, but you'll talk about something. I don't care if the conversation is turned toward the weather. Honey, it's pretty outside today. It's finally stopped raining. We know that it only rained twice this winter, once for 300 days and the other for 200 days, but it's finally stopped raining. Bless God, now you got them in a conversation about the weather. Bless God, just say, aren't you glad that we've got a God that controls it all? And the next thing you know, Brother Gwen, you're sitting there talking about how pretty the sunshine is, and then you talk about, bless God, maybe we get a few days of dry rain, but you know what? God knows what we need and when we need it, and there ain't no doubt they're going to be some pretty flowers this spring, all because of the Lord. And the next thing you know, you're talking about the Lord, and that's how easy it is. But recall the scriptures. You say, hey, you go talk about the weather, talk about the Lord. Bless God, Brother Tim, take them out to the firmament. Talking about that. I say, hey, man, even the firmament declares there is a God in heaven. The stars are hung in their socket, bless God. And from that first heaven, bless God, here comes the rain again. And here it comes. But talk to them about what matters. You say, it might not be about the weather. I don't care what it's about. You can bring Jesus into everything.
That's right.
Had Robbie Shoemake come over to my house a little while back and do some work for me. Robbie, you still got something to do. Those Bradford pear trees. Let's just for a minute look at Robbie as a lost man. Can you be lost for a minute? You couldn't if you tried to, could you, brother? Let's just say Robbie's my lost landscaper. He's come to my house, Brother Steve, to do some work for me. I want to show you how easy that it is to talk to the Lord, or talk to somebody about the Lord. Robbie, what do you think of them old Bradford pear trees around here? Be honest. What do you think of them?
They're pretty good until the wind blows.
Did y'all hear what he said? He said they're pretty good till the wind blows. So you're my landscaper now. You wouldn't suggest me putting more of them things out? You know what I find, Brother Robbie? I know you're just my landscaper. But I find that those trees are a whole lot like some of my church members. And then you might say, oh, are you a pastor? I am a pastor. You say, well, why in the world are them Bradford pear trees like some of your church members? For the same reason you mentioned. Boy, they're awful pretty. They look awful pretty. They bloom out very pretty in the spring. They look, I mean, they're very pretty. But you know what I found, Brother Robbie? They're just like you said, the first storm comes along, they go all to pieces. And you, that's how easy that it is to talk to people about. I don't care if somebody's painting your house. I don't care if they're doing work for you. If they're a landscaper, Brother Jody, it does not matter. Because you can bring the Lord Jesus Christ into any specific conversation. It's there. You just got to look for it. You say, what about that ball game the other night between Carolina and Duke? Bring it up. Bring up the ball game, Brother Gerald. Somebody want to talk about Duke and Carolina? Say, what in the world? You talking about Duke and Carolina? What's Duke's mascot? Oh, the Devils. You know, that's a problem I have a problem with already. I don't care if he's pulling for Duke or Carolina. You know what? I got a problem with the devil. He hates me and I hate him. But I'm telling you, it is that easy. You said, what if Duke and Carolina wasn't playing? What if it was Wake Forest? Well, Wes, let me talk to you about them demon deacons. Man, we got a bunch of them. No, we don't. We got good deacons. But Brother Tim, you see where I'm going with this, son? You can bring the Lord Jesus Christ into any situation. It does not matter, but you better be led of the Lord, be willing to reach the sinner, be able to be led by the Spirit of God. I'm talking about really led by Him. And then, bless God, recall the Scriptures. Use the Scriptures. Use the Scriptures. Use the Scriptures. Why? Because Satan knows the Scriptures himself. You better be ready to recall the Scriptures. Did the psalmist not say to hide them down in here? That's what he said. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. But it also worked well for witnessing too. I believe it was Brother Steve or somebody in here just real recently told me that if it's you, tell me. I'll acknowledge you. Somebody was in here telling me that they just recently witnessed to somebody. And said, preacher, I don't know the scriptures. And I said, well, how did it go? And they said, it went really well. And I said, well, good. They said, yeah. I said, that was scripture coming out of my mouth that I've never even quoted before. I hadn't even read it. I guess I've read it. But hey, and see, that was God. That was the Lord recalling to them what they needed right in the middle of it. They said, I didn't even know I knew those scriptures. And here I was witnessing and telling somebody else about how good God was. He'll recall to you the scriptures if you'll let him. But rely on the, be willing to reach the sinner. Rely on the Spirit to take you there. Recall the scriptures. I'm almost done here in just a few more minutes. Verse number 35. He said he preached unto him Jesus. Tell him about his person. Tell him that he is the God-man. Tell him that he is the Son of God. Tell him that he is the atonement for your sin. Tell him that he is that lily in the darkest of your valleys. Tell him whenever it looks like it's just over your head, guess what? The waves are under his feet. Tell him about the wave walker. Tell him about him. Just use the scriptures. The Bible said there in that verse that he told him about Jesus. You say, well, how did you think that he worked that in? Well, he was reading out of the book of Isaiah about that lamb that was led to the slaughter. Isaiah is like a mini Bible in itself. If you'll take it and look at it as a whole, he was right there in the messianic part of the book of Isaiah. And you just say, hey, he's talking about Jesus. Do you know what happened back there? I know you being from Ethiopia and everything, but do you hear what happened up here at Jerusalem? Did you hear about that? They ain't no doubt, brother, that thing had gone out far and wide. He had gone up there to Jerusalem to worship. That's where it said he had been. Can you imagine then the conversation between Philip and him, whenever he said he had joined himself into the chariot and told him about Jesus? I want you to do that. Reveal unto that sinner that you finally got a captive audience. Reveal unto them about the Savior. Tell them that he is your rock. I know a lot of you people use your mate as your rock. And Cindy might say that Mark is my rock, or I might say that Cindy's my rock. You know, I know you mean no sacrilege against that, but I'm telling you what, there ain't but one rock, and that's the rock of Jesus Christ. Use him and tell him, man, I'm telling you what, if it weren't for the grace of God, I'd be in your same situation, brother. Brother John, you got somebody down and out, destitute, of daily need, good, whatever it might be. Finally, the Lord led you there. You were willing to go. And you're just sitting there having a conversation with them, brother, just talking about how good God is. And that person's finally listening. What are you going to do now that you've got their ear? Listen, if you tell them about how pretty the weather is, or you talk about that Bradford pear tree, if you leave it there and you don't never take them just a little further and tell them about Jesus, you've got to reveal unto them this man called Christ. You've got to do that. You've got their ear already. The Lord led you there. We've already accomplished that much, that you're willing to reach the sinner. You're ready to go. And the Lord, you relied on the Holy Spirit to lead you to the one. You're there now. You recall the scripture. Don't stop there. Reveal unto them the person, the man, Jesus Christ. Tell them about him. You say, well, what am I going to say about him? Tell him, my friend. You're there. What did the woman at the well do whenever she left the pot and went back and said, come see a man? Told me everything about myself. Just go, come see a man. Tell him your story. Tell him your testimony. Brother, can you just tell him what he did for you? That's all you got to do. That's what everybody was told in the scriptures. Go and show. Go and tell. That's all you got to do, Brother Gwen. Just tell him how good he was to you. Because he is surely good to every one of us. I've got one more and then we're going to quit. Don't just tell him about his person. Tell him about his price. Tell him about the revival in your heart and the plan that he's got for theirs. Now, this is where sometimes we stop short. I'm going back to Brother Woody. We're going to close down here in just a minute. What's the last thing Brother Woody does with somebody? Miss Laura, do you know what your brother does before he finally gets up from here? He reassures that sinner. Or he reassures that saint. That's what he's going to do here, because the eunuch is now asking, hey, here's some water. What's forbidden me to be baptized here? Now, some of those other translations you get your hand on said that Philip just jerked up the reins on the chariot, stopped the chariot, and went down and baptized him. Listen, if you leave out the conversion eunuch, that conversion is still going to hell. But I want you to listen to me. After you've got that person in your personal time of one-on-one, don't let them leave. Brother Woody always says, what happened to you? What happened to you? What'd you just do? What'd you just do? I just trusted the Lord as my Savior. All right, the Bible said, with the heart man believeth, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He's wanting to put you on point with the Savior. And he's wanting you to go ahead and acknowledge it right before Satan. Because Satan's going to tell you, you're going to get up from there. If you don't acknowledge it very quickly, the devil's going to say, ain't nothing happened to you. And he's a liar.
That's right.
I ain't saying you didn't get saved, but you're going to go through life defeated, never having victory, never having real joy that Brother Jake taught about Friday night, never having that peace and never having the things that he talked about the other night. Brother, I'm telling you, get them and reassure that sinner that, let me tell you right now, there ain't enough devils in hell going to take you there. There ain't enough demons in hell going to be able to get you there. And if it's a saint that you've been praying with, maybe somebody you're trying to console because of sickness or whatever, reassure them. Brother Kenny, in this life, we're going to have troubles. We're going to have problems. But guess what? I've overcome the world. So I'm going right back into that scripture, and I want you to see this because it's right there in the pages of the Word. It says that then Philip opened his mouth and preached unto him Jesus, and then it says, then Philip opened his mouth, beginning the same scripture, preached unto Jesus. And when they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He commanded the chariot to stand still and went down. And the Bible said, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. I want you to do this. Get somebody to the point of acknowledging their own lost condition. It's probably one of the hardest things you'll do. Especially in this late day. Why? Because everybody's okay. I'm okay, preacher. Let me tell you, if your life is steeped in sin, you're not okay. If you've been playing around with sin, you're not okay. Well, preacher, I'm not being diagnosed with anything. Let me tell you, the scriptures diagnose you. If it's against God, it's sin. I'm honest. Is that right, Preston? So I'm going to go back in here. I'm going to recap real quick because we're getting ready to come. Mr. Macy, come over to the piano. In a one-on-one encounter that we all acknowledge that sometimes we just have a little bit of difficulty with, what are we going to do? For those that were writing it down, I'm taking you right back in there. Be willing first to reach that sinner. Yeah, it's commanded in the scriptures. It's very challenging unto some of us, but you'll do it out of a heart of compassion. Rely on the Holy Spirit to take you to who, to where, to when. He'll even tell you what to say when you get there because he will have you to recall the scriptures. You'll reveal unto them the Savior. And then lastly, you will reassure that sinner that, hey, if you died right now, where are you going? I'm going to heaven, preacher. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I want to reassure you of this one fact, brother. If you truly trusted Christ as your Savior, that's where you're going. Now, when you get up from here, you need to find you a local assembly. You said, you don't have to go to church to be saved. I didn't say to get saved. The Bible tells us, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together, you need to find you a local assembly. If it's not here, it's somewhere. And if you're out there in the world somewhere, invite them to your church. If you don't have a church, you need to get one. I would tell them that very quickly as we stand over the house of God today.